What's up? Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. We're back yet again with all things Nintendo. I'm Tim Mason. With me, I've got Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation? Tim, do you know why I do not want kids?
Because they make you late to the podcast?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, they also, I would love a child to sign a contract that says, I promise to take my naps. I promise not to go on the longest sleep strike that the world has ever seen. And let's just say my hair is returning gray, grayer than normal. Anyway, we've also got our regular now, Mark Kalaroff. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back.
And how was that pronunciation of your last name?
You did it perfectly.
Yes. Okay, I'm there.
How do you pronounce my last name?
Oh, I'm not going to try, Rick. You know that. The conch cell. Conch shell, right?
Nope. Moving on.
Conch de coco.
Dude, you got like, such no.
A... I'm just messing with you, but I'm still not going to try because it is just so far beyond anything I can pronounce. Anyway, joining us for the first time, we have writer from Goomba Stomp and internet at large, Cameron Daxon, joining us.
Hello, how's it going, everybody? And can I just say, I hope when your baby is on sleep strike that he has a little sign that says something about that. Like a ticket sign.
She's just a vocal protester.
Sure.
We go in there to check in on her, and she says something along the lines of, you're not napping, why? No, we ask you that question.
She turns it around on you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not ready for it ever. So this week we've got a bunch to talk about. Not only do we have three Mario games to talk about because we've got Super Mario 3D All-Stars, but Cameron, we brought you on because you played Circuit Dude for this site and are going to review it for us here on the show in just a moment. But before we get there, since you are a first-time guest, we have this time-honored tradition of asking... No. Yeah, get ready for it. We ask all of our first-time guests five rapid-fire questions that Rick will prattle them off. You won't be ready for them.
Okay.
And it'll help us get to know you a little bit, and then we'll all judge you for the rest of the episode based on what you say.
Wow. Oh, I see how it is. Well, I was like, Rick, do I have to prepare anything? He was like, nope, not at all. I see how it is. All right.
We want you to be completely off guard for this because we'll get to your heart, and then there, we'll eat it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what? Kali Ma, what?
Rick, whenever you're ready.
Question number one, what is your favorite Nintendo controller that you would want added to the Switch lineup? In other words, like, I guess, well, we might... anyways, what is your favorite Nintendo controller?
My first instinct is the GameCube controller because I spent the most time with it, but they do kind of have that peripheral that you can add for Smash Brothers, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that is the correct answer.
Yeah. Is that the correct? Yeah. Okay, good. So far, so good. All right.
Who is your favorite female character in a Nintendo game?
Princess Peach.
Ooh. Okay.
That's like a gimme. Come on.
I mean, Samus was the correct answer there, but I'll.
Ooh, ouch! Damn. All right.
Really, over Sheik?
Samus.
Over Dixie Kong? Dixie Kong?
Samus can
oh,
do
I do
no
love
wrong.
Dixie Kong. Oh,
I
man.
Probably set Palutena.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, just getting steamrolled here. Oof.
No, I'm sticking with Samus, and I will fight you hand cannon.
Fight me in Smash Brothers, and we will see how it goes.
Oh, I will not be using Samus in that case. I don't want Samus in that instance.
So, question number three. Eventually, Nintendo has to move on. Would you prefer a sort of 4K version of the Switch, like a Switch 2.0, or would you prefer they release a completely brand new console with brand new controls and all the games that we have on Switch will not be compatible?
Mm. I gotta go with a brand new console because honestly, and I mean this like from the bottom of my heart, I don't understand what 4K is. I don't get it. I don't like, you can tell me 4K resolution and I'm like, I don't know what that means. So I'm just all about Nintendo make something new. Surprise me.
Okay, so you don't want an upgraded Switch with more power and better visuals, just a brand new machine. Okay, but would you want the brand new machine?
I would, yeah.
Would you want it to be more powerful, I guess?
I mean, I suppose. I mean, I'm running base PS4, original Switch, like Nintendo 2DS. Like, I'm behind on the curve when it comes to technology. So I'm all about, like, just give me a new experience, you know?
What if the new console, sorry to totally just steal the question and change it to my own liking. What if it's Switch 2.0, but it just has eliminated Joy-Con drift? Does that change your answer?
I have never had an issue with Joy-Con drift, so I don't think it would change my answer.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones.
I suppose.
Okay, if Microsoft continues to buy studios and companies, would you want them to buy Nintendo or Sony?
Ooh, that's brutal. My instinct is to say Nintendo, but also I don't want that at all.
I don't think they can afford it.
Yeah, right? Wasn't there a rumor some years back about Microsoft buying Nintendo? I feel like I've been hearing about that rumor forever.
If they bought Bethesda for $7.5 billion,
mm-hmm.
but Nintendo owns at least one property that on its own makes at least $1 billion, being Pokemon, like, I don't understand how they could ever afford it. Like, that doesn't include Mario, Zelda, Mario Kart, Smash Bros. Like, have so much money.
No, I'm not saying it'll happen. I'm just saying if it was between Sony and Nintendo, I would advocate for them to buy Nintendo.
Well, and the thing is, people forget that Nintendo has sort of like hotels and spas and cruise ships and like
and now a theme park.
And a theme park. Yeah, like they have a bunch of stuff. They don't just make video games or trading cards. Question number 5 and the last question. Nintendo has problems with marketing. If they could team up with and or use a marketing team, who would you recommend? Like Ubisoft, Epic, Microsoft, Sony?
I think I disagree with the premise of the question. Everybody recognizes Mario, everybody recognizes Zelda. Like, I don't think they need help making their properties more marketable. But if they were going to go with some kind of a new tack, I don't know. I mean, they've done good work with Ubisoft before. I could see that.
That's interesting, because I actually think that their marketing has suffered over the past, like, 4 or 5 years, specifically when Reggie left. I really do think it's when Reggie left. For some reason, they just can't seem to deliver a message properly, and they seem to always be making their fan base angry or frustrated.
I think fan bases are just angrier and more frustrated.
No,
these
days. But
I would agree with that.
But like, we're going to talk about 3 Mario games later, right? And one of the big probably the only problem with the release of these 3 games is the fact that for whatever reason it's limited. But they didn't really give anyone a reason as to why it's limited. So that's a problem in the marketing and the message of the marketing. Like, they don't have to give us a reason, but it's decisions like that that Nintendo continues to make that has me scratching my head. In all honesty, I think Fortnite, Epic Games, has by far the greatest marketing team in the world. And I would love for them to sort of take some ideas from those guys. And I don't know. Like, I'm not... Like, you're right. With Mario, of course, and Zelda, like, everybody knows these IPs. But for some of the new games that they are making or, you know, hopefully will be releasing IPs in the future, I just love the marketing team from, and I hate Fortnite, but I love their marketing team.
What Rick is really saying here is that he wants Nintendo to brainwash children against Apple as well, is what he's really hoping for.
a worthy goal.
Dude, that ad, okay, by the way, like, that was like genius. Like, the original ad itself, directed by Ridley Scott, the 1984 Ridley Scott, Super Bowl ad, which lifted from the book 1984, is the greatest Super Bowl commercial of all time. It's because of that ad that now the Super Bowl is all about ads, right? That's what kickstarted everything. So that ad that Fortnite did was just one of many examples of why they have the best marketing team in the world. lately, like, look at what they, like, they teamed up with Marvel, Avengers, BTS. They have live concerts like Travis Scott. Think about when the game went dark.
Star Wars showed up in Fortnite.
Yeah, yeah. The game went dark for like 48 hours, I think. Like, that is genius marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's all live marketing, so it has its pros and cons.
I don't know, man. I think it's pretty cool. I would love for Nintendo to do some really cool Splatfest where, I don't know, they just really surprise us and do something that's completely from, like, left field. And
oh, my. Someone call Nintendo right now and make them do PS5 versus Xbox Series X.
Oh,
because that'd be so funny.
So good. Oh, that's genius.
So funny.
That would be incredible. Like in all honesty, that's a great... I mean, Tim, man, they should hire you. Like, right there. Bam.
I've been telling them that for years. I literally just go over to Redmond. I'm like, hey, guys. I know what's going on. And then they just tell me to leave, please.
That's genius.
Anyways, Cameron, I think you passed the 5 questions.
Even though I give wrong answers to every one of them.
What you'll soon learn is that N-Express is very much about being wrong 100% of the time.
Excellent.
It's kind of our shtick, so.
I love it.
Yeah. So, you were brought on not only because you are a writer at Goomba Stomp and because you clearly have a flair for the air. You're doing great so far.
Oh, go on.
But you also did cover Circuit Dude, and we wanted to pick your brain a little bit about that title.
Sure,
so without further ado.
Without further ado, we talk about Circuit Dude. It's a little indie game made by just one guy, which I found fascinating. Had kind of a prequel life on Steam and on something called Arduboy, which is like an open source tool. And then they eventually were able to get it made for the Switch and published on the Switch. It's great. It's a great little puzzler. It's the kind of game where you can not easily, because the puzzles are actually very hard, but you can sink like a level or two in every night. There's like 120 levels. There's always more to do. I've been really enjoying it. It's a great game. Basically, the premise of the game is, I'm pretty sure you're like inside of a computer or something like that. Like, you're playing a little forgive my pronunciation, anthropomorphized like chip with arms and legs and a little face. And so you're moving across tile-based maps. You know, each movement is one tile. And basically you're trying to chart a path from the starting point in the level to like a fixed endpoint. It's like a little portal you got to go through. And on your way there, you want to make sure you cross over specified tiles. And once you cross over those tiles, you can't walk back over them. So basically you're kind of making your way through these mazes on your way to the end point, and you're trying to do it in as few steps as possible. And of course, on the way there, there's different obstacles, conveyor belts, warp tiles, bottomless pits, like that kind of stuff. It's just really easy to just keep rolling into one level after another. The longer you play, it's been really very enjoyable. It's a good game.
The mascot looks like, he looks like what is it called? The fitness circuit board mascot. Except he's yellow instead of green. Anyhow.
He's kind of blue. Yeah.
He's blue. Sorry, yeah, he's blue instead of green, yeah. I can't even get my color straight.
I mean, I can't speak to that. It's very enjoyable. Are you guys, do you like puzzle games?
Yeah, I really like puzzle games. The biggest puzzler on the show is typically Patrick, but he's not here right now. So this seems like it'd be right up his alley. I don't know anything about circuit boards, but this kind of like, you look at it and it kind of looks like it, you know, it's called Circuit Dude.
Yeah, you've never taken apart a Game Boy and like looked at the circuit board in the middle of it? So
there's a huge difference between look at the center of something because you were curious and then having any idea what anything is doing outside of borderline, when I press this button, this thing indents and makes something else happen. Yeah. Like, I can figure that out. But yeah, it seems like it's emulating the idea of what happens when you flip a switch or something and you're making your way through a circuit. It's kind of cool in that way.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fun. It's got that kind of addictive quality to it. Like, oh, just one more level. I can do one more. Or like, you'll get stuck on a level for, you know, 5-10 minutes. Oh, this is impossible. You put it down. You come back after you eat dinner or something and knock it out like first try. It's very much that kind of a game. Things seem impossible until they're not. It's just like that's to me the mark of a good puzzle game, when you think like, oh, I can't ever do this, and then you figure it out and you feel like a friggin' genius.
Question, yeah. Cameron.
Yes.
This game has it's not a randomizer, right? It's
like no. The level editor are very, very deliberately constructed.
No, but it has like a level editor, the game.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand, because you wrote in your review, and you ended a review by saying it has a level editor, but like, what do you mean? Like, you can make your own levels, or the game requires you to edit the levels to solve puzzles?
No. I meant along the lines of you can create your own levels. You can create your own puzzles.
But can you share that, like Super Mario Maker?
Yes, that is exactly correct. Yes, you can.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it makes, yeah, exactly. It's like, I didn't talk too much about it because I don't know what the scene is. You know, like, apparently, the game, when it was developed on this open source tool, that kind of became the thing about it, is like, oh, well, you know, Jonathan Crate, we really like your idea of Circuit Dude. Can we make Circuit Dude levels? And he was like, yeah, man, go for it. So they very much like kept that spirit alive.
Because it's open source, this might be a stupid question, but can you make a sequel to the game, or you can only make like one specific level?
Oh, I have no idea. That'd be interesting. That's a great question. That's like a licensing question, I feel like.
Yeah. Anyhow, the game looks great. Like, yeah. I wanted you to talk about it because I read your review, and like, I mean, I like puzzle games. The thing about me is like, I like playing puzzle games on the go. And lately, ever since March, I'm never on the go. Like, I'm not on, like, apart from like leaving my house to go play basketball. Like, I'm not traveling to go to work. Like, I pretty much stay home. And so I find myself not really playing the smaller games. I'm playing more of the bigger games because I'm playing on my big screen. But this game looks fantastic. Like, for anyone who has a Switch, which of course you have a Switch because you listen to this podcast, if you're looking for a great indie game, like, this is great.
Yeah, and it's totally, like, I can see this game gaining a bit of a following, you know, once, you know, public transit is up and running and busy again. It's like, it's very much the kind of game, you sit down on the bus, you can play a level or two, or, you know, put your Switch in sleep mode, pick it up right after you finish work or whatever. It's very much pick up and play kind of game. It's super easy to like restart levels as well. Like, sometimes if I'm playing like The Witness or something, you go back to a level, you forget everything you've learned. This game is not like that. It's super easy to restart a level. Puzzles, you can kind of leave and come back to them. It's the perfect kind of pick up and play sort of game.
This looks like the type of game that should have been on a 3DS with the Street Pass feature. I feel like it really would have benefited off of it.
Oh, that would have been perfect. Yeah. It's amazing that the Switch doesn't have a Street Pass feature.
Yeah, I really wish it did.
Street Pass was absolutely the best thing in the world. We'll probably talk about that later on in the episode. So I've got a really weird question for you, and I don't know if you're going to have an answer at all, but I can't help but notice that the colors for each stage seem to be a very soft gray and a lightish purple, which very much reminds me of classic Nintendo colors. Do you think that was like an intentional nod to retro Nintendo consoles, or do you think it's just incidental?
To me, that seems incidental, just because it's been on Steam. It's been on other things before it came to Switch. But we can pretend like it's a nod to the Super Nintendo.
For sure.
Or to GameCube.
Oh, well, if it was inverted, if it was purple with a little bit of... But GameCube had a darker gray, so...
But the level is gray and purple, Tim. Or levels...
I'm just saying, like, it's like mostly gray with a little purple accent, so it looks like a SNES. mean, which you say is the best console of all time, Rick, so it should remind you of a SNES too.
The Super Nintendo is the greatest console of all time, and I got a message for our listeners. So if you might have noticed that there's been a a few episodes, more so than normal, being uploaded to the feed. I think I uploaded 5 in the past 7 days. What I am doing is I'm going back and I am ripping the best of the NXpress podcast. So, for example, I uploaded the original review of Sunshine, Super Mario 64, and Galaxy. And also, Tim, our review of The Wizard, the movie. So I am going to be releasing more and more of these, what I call the best of NXpress. And what's great about them is, like, instead of going back and listening to the episode, and the episode's like an hour long, and maybe a lot of what we talked about is dated because we're talking about news and E3 and stuff that's in the past. Like, this is kind of like evergreen. So anyhow.
Yeah. So check that out. And for $5, feel free to check out Circuit Dude. It seems like Cameron had a good time with it, but do check out his review currently up on Goomba Stomp.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly, I mean, I don't like to talk too much about like price, but it's certainly worth $5. A really great little game.
I mean, I feel like it bears noting when a game is $5, though. That's such an easy.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but like for 120 levels, like, and a stage builder, that's pretty wild. That's a really good value. So.
Yeah, really, it's like, and you get the added benefit of like, it's an indie game, so you kind of, you know who you're supporting. It's not like you're just kind of throwing money at a big corporation or something. It's like, it's cool.
Yeah, I have to take a trip to New York tomorrow, and I think I'm going to download this game tonight.
Yeah. If you like puzzles, it's a great little puzzle game. It's a very very enjoyable.
You going to the NYC?
Yes, sadly. I have to go there.
Why sadly?
It's just for like a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, but you can go check out the Nintendo store.
That is a good point.
Is it open?
It just did open to the public. Oh, wow. But I don't know if I want to bother going into a crowded street or, you know.
Look at you playing it safe.
Yeah, that is true.
Anyway, I'm sure this is super good listening right now.
Yeah, we're getting all the travel plans.
Anyway, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Super Mario 3D All-Stars, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back to NXpress. I'm Tim. Over here's Rick. We've got Marky Mark still in the house.
Of course.
And Cameron Daxon is still with us.
Still with us, baby.
And we have got a treat for you because we are talking about the latest and greatest Nintendo release. That's right, the only Nintendo release since I don't know what. What happens when you combine a genre-defining masterpiece with an absolute all-star masterpiece of a title and Super Mario Sunshine all in one package?
Ooh, got him.
Okay, you're already going to do that, Tim? You're already going to like make fun of Sunshine?
Oh, Tim, you already know we're going to this episode.
So we're talking about Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which is out now on the Switch. There's a lot to talk about with this thing. It's a limited release. Lots of people have feelings about that. They are just general ports, nothing overly fancy, but still getting three very special Mario adventures from his 3D exploits.
They improved the visuals, Tim, and the performance is better.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely far. I think Sunshine is actually the best case there, where I remember quite a few stutters and what have you back in the day, and I, in my personal time with it, didn't see anything of the kind. So there does seem to be absolute enhancements. Visually, everything does look much better.
It's just the controls. And the problem with Sunshine is the controls. You can't inverse them. I mean, I don't care, but like a lot of people are complaining. But the thing is, okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, but my major gripe with Sunshine is I don't understand why we can't just use our GameCube controller. Like, they have a GameCube controller that they sold for Nintendo Switch, which I have two of, and it would be great if we had the option to play with the controller like the way we did back in the days.
Yeah, that is baffling. It's truly baffling.
I've got one theory and one theory only, and it sounds just plausible enough.
They're lazy?
I think that... No, actually, it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think that in this case, that would automatically become the definitive way to play the title, because then you would have better control of the flood pack. I think that they were maybe... I could be totally off base. They could just be lazy. I think that maybe they were afraid that if they did allow people to use GameCube controllers for that title, then people would say, oh, it's the only real way to play the game, and then people would feel obligated to get that. Yeah, and I don't know how readily available you can get the adapter these days.
I'm not sure. I think it's not like I remember when they first released it, it sold out, but I think nowadays, like, you can pretty much get it online. I could be wrong.
Yeah, they have the GameCube controller is really hard to get, but the adapter you can get.
Oh, I have the GameCube controller, the adapter, and the GameCube controller that they sold specifically for the Switch.
You know, the much yeah. longer cord, which was glorious, yeah.
Yeah, anyhow, I just feel like when it comes to Sunshine, like, I do think Sunshine... Okay, so here's the thing. When I re-uploaded our original review of Sunshine, like, I listened to it, right? And in that review, it was the only game that year, because of that year we played all of the Mario games. But remember, Tim, I didn't play Sunshine because my GameCube broke. So I played all of the Mario games from start to finish, like, finished all of them except for Sunshine, and therefore the review that we did way back in 2015, which I just re-uploaded to the feed, it's based on my memories of playing the game when I was younger. So now that I'm playing the game now, this is why, like, this is the number one reason why I wanted to buy this specific package. It's for Sunshine, because I have Galaxy, I have the Wii and the Wii U, and I have 64, and I have Super Mario 64 on my Wii U, right? And the last time I played 64, I actually played on the Wii U. Now, granted, this version, the visuals are better, the performance is better, but the point is I have those games. And I actually prefer to play Mario Galaxy with the Wii remote, which we could talk about soon. But I specifically wanted to get this day one so I can finally play Sunshine again. And to me, it's worth it. Like, they could have sold these games separately and I would have paid for them each, like, individually, like, $50, right? But I think for me, Sunshine would have been, like, if they sold it separately, I would probably buy them all in the same day, but I would buy Sunshine first because it's the one game that never got released until now.
Yeah, it's definitely the one title that's not readily available to anyone anymore, at least. Because you could still buy Mario Galaxy on the Wii U eShop, right?
Yeah.
You should be, yeah.
Yeah, you absolutely can. I'm not going to lie with you. That's actually maybe the biggest selling point in my book, too, is the thing. I want to give Sunshine another go, and I want to give it a fighting chance, because even back when we re-reviewed it for the show, I kind of let my memories of the game really, like, guide my opinion of it, which isn't the best journalism, but it definitely makes for a fun show. So this time I'm trying to clear to just take this for what it is. I'm trying to wash away all that old paint, right?
I don't think we ever said it was a bad game. I think the problem is when you compare it to 64 and Galaxy and even Galaxy 2, like, of all the 3D Mario games, I think it's the worst. Like, and when I say worst, I think it's just not as good as the rest.
Which is, like, hard when, like I said, you've got a literal genre-defining title and a masterpiece also on the set. It's really, really hard to measure up. But I was really excited to get another chance to play it and try to come in with a fresh perspective and give it the due that I think it does deserve, because it's definitely very different from all other Mario titles. And that's something. And it maybe it didn't come off like the Majora's Mask of the series, which I think was a resounding success, but definitely still the odd deck. But it's still, I don't know, it's got its own unique flavor, and I think that's worth noting. I'm trying, you guys.
Well, no, I think the thing to keep in mind is, oh, it's not as good as Mario 64, or it's not as good as Galaxy. It's like, yeah, it's still a Mario game. So compared to other games of its type, it is definitely better than, like, I mean, I know people always compare this collection to the Crash and the Spyro remaster. It's like, I would rather play Mario Sunshine than Spyro. You know what I mean?
I didn't want to step on any toes, but we've definitely been talking about this behind the scenes with everyone from the site.
Right.
And as soon as the comparisons to Crash and Spyro came up, I wanted to say there's a reason that I didn't buy either of those collections, but I bought the Mario collection day one, and that's because Mario games are great, and the other ones are, like, they have to add all those other bells and whistles, because otherwise, is it really worth it? No offense to anyone that likes those games, but, like, Crash? Really?
Here's
the hot
thing.
Take, Tim.
If I can
don't
have,
like Crash.
Yeah, neither do I hate Crash. If I can have a wish list,
really?
Like, I hate Crash. Anyways, if I had my way, right? Like, if I was a president of Nintendo, I would have wanted them to just remaster 64. I'm okay with Sunshine. Like, I think it's fine. I think it's an improvement from the GameCube game. And, I mean, I don't think the game is popular enough for them to actually want to remaster. Like, I think what they did with Sunshine is great. But with Super Mario 64, because Odyssey was such a throwback to that game, there was callbacks to that game in the game, right? I really, really wanted and was hoping, and there was rumors too, so I was hoping we would have had a 64 remaster, which we don't. And I think the thing about, like, they did it with Ocarina of Time. Like, they released the game on the 3DS, right? It's a better version, some would argue, I think it is. They fixed a lot of hiccups and problems from the original game on the 64. And the thing about Super Mario 64, it's one of those games that sort of, like, changed the video game industry. It's such an important video game, not just for Nintendo, but the industry as a whole. And I think if they were to remaster, like, look, I like my Link's Awakening and my Wind Waker and so on and so forth, but if they were to remaster a game, this is a great game to remaster because, again, I finished this game from start to finish, Super Mario 64, not too long ago, and the problem with the game is the camera, especially in the later stages. It really does get in your way, and every single time I died, it was most likely because of the camera. For them to go back and try to fix that would have been amazing. So I feel like that is a missed opportunity, but at the same time, I can't complain because we're getting three Mario games, two of the greatest games ever made for the price of one.
Yeah, well, and it's hard because, I mean, there's so much debate, especially around video game preservation. What is the best way to do this kind of a collection? Do you include only the remaster version? Do you include only the original version? Do you include the original and you can swap between the remaster and the original? Like, I agree with you that it does feel like a little bit of a missed opportunity. I was surprised when I turned the game on and realized, oh, I guess I can't do my normal free-roaming camera like I would with a second control stick. So that was actually kind of a surprise to me. But
you answered your own question, though. I mean, the answer is obvious. It's you have an option. You have the original if you want to know what it was like playing the game way back in, like, what, 90? When was the game released? In 90?
98,
whatever.
96? I don't know.
Okay. And or you can play the remastered version. Like you can play the original Resident Evil game, and you can also play the remastered. So you can still get a feel for what it was like back in the day. So I think that would be great. But it's like you don't release, like, you don't go and buy a DVD and then buy a Blu-ray or a Criterion because you're going to get the exact same quality and the exact same special features as the DVD. Like, you're going to get something that's better quality, right?
Mm-hmm,
I understand that video games are more complex and there's a lot more work that goes into it when they remaster and reboot it. And again, the game does look better and it does perform better. I just think for 64, God, like... they should have just, like, I mean, if there's one game Nintendo should have remade or remastered, it's Super Mario 64.
It's true.
probably not wrong. And I can understand. I think there might have been about as much excitement had this just been Mario 64 remaster, release it for $40 to $60 on Switch. I think that would have been a really cool celebration of the 35th anniversary. But I think that, like we hit on really early on, I think that the inclusion of Sunshine kind of makes me not miss that opportunity nearly as much, because I'm perfectly happy to just have all three of these games on my Switch playable on that console now. So that, like we were talking about, they are preserved in a pretty much original state, a little bit prettier, but they very much feel like they originally did. I kind of prefer that.
Yeah, but I have them on my Wii U. Like this. Minus Sunshine, I have them on my Wii U. And
but Sunshine's why.
It meant, yeah, exactly. Like, Sunshine is why. But here's my question for you guys, and maybe Mark can jump in. Are you playing Galaxy with the Pro Controller and or the Joy-Con? Because I can tell you right now, I'm not playing with the Joy-Con because of the drift, and I have my Joy-Cons are busted. So I'm playing with the Pro Controller, and the reason why I prefer the original version, I would prefer to play it on the Wii, is because it's just easier with the Wii remote, especially when you're collecting the gems.
I'm going to be honest with you, Rick. I played the game in every single format. I played it with the Joy-Con, I played it with the Pro Controller, and I played it with handheld for the review. And I have to say, the reason I really love this collection is just because I really love the Pro Controller, first of all.
Me too.
But having all these games in handheld mode is just glorious.
Oh, like, it's so glorious.
It's a childhood dream.
To play Galaxy in handheld?
Not Galaxy, but Sunshine and 64, really.
Okay, but I'm talking about Galaxy, man. Like, how are you playing Galaxy? What's your preference?
After playing it with all three, I'm honestly going to say I liked playing it in handheld.
I like it in handheld. I like being able to touch the screen and click the fish.
I thought it was fine.
Okay, but all the so I haven't played on handheld, but I'm guessing you have to remove your hand from the controller to swipe on the screen. That's weird.
It's weird.
It is. It certainly gets in the way, especially with me with large hands. It's like I keep blocking up parts of the screen or having to stop. It's just annoying.
Sometimes there's like really weird controls that Nintendo releases, like Kid Icarus Uprising, and it's really strange and feels wrong at first, but you get used to it and then you love it. And then there are those other titles like Star Fox Zero that you're like, this is never going to work for me.
Yeah, definitely.
And this, it's like doable, and in some parts of the game maybe even easier because you can just quick tap, no effort, no aiming.
I like Star Fox Zero, by the way, and I defended that game.
I like the Millennium Falcon mode, but
Rick, that's going to be a separate argument.
You can go back and listen to it on the archive.
I really hate that game.
Let's just rag on that guy for a while. No, it's weird. I think it works, and it's fun because it's different and it makes you play the game differently.
Oh yeah, definitely. There are some puzzles where I talked about this in the review, but there are some puzzles like the Blue Star ones that the handheld mode really benefits from, because I don't know why, but just playing it on screen versus handheld, I feel like the touch screen really benefits some of those puzzles.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think in some instances it's almost like a cheat mode.
Yeah, definitely.
That's funny. Interesting. Yeah.
It's kind of fun, like
it just goes so, it's just so much more fluent in that mode. But I feel like going from Blue Star to Blue Star, I'm flying through these missions. And then meanwhile, when I play it on the big screen, I feel like I'm just slowly taking my time and going through it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say Mark is cheating, but anyhow.
Oh my god.
So
wait, Cameron was gonna say something. Jump in.
Oh yeah, how could I follow that? No, I was just gonna say I haven't made it to any blue star missions yet in my playthrough of Galaxy, but I can't wait to do so and play them in a handheld. That's all I was gonna say, and be a cheater like Mark. That's all.
Can I just quickly say that what is really hard is like again, I picked up the collection for Sunshine, right? But I made the mistake of pausing Sunshine to go play Galaxy. And that is, like, not a good idea. Because Galaxy's, like, a pitch perfect game, right? It's almost perfect. It's like one of the greatest games ever made. And to go from Galaxy to Sunshine, like Galaxy is just such a better game. It's like watching the best movie ever and then watching a movie that's just okay afterwards.
Whoa, like, you know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean.
Dude, come on. You can't play Galaxy and then play Sunshine after.
I'm going to be totally honest with you, Rick. I said this in the review. Mario Galaxy is the closest to being that modern standard for the Mario game you would expect it to be. But if I'm going to be honest, how I would rank these games is Sunshine, Galaxy, and then 64 at the bottom.
That doesn't make sense.
Wait, are you doing it in reverse?
Here's the thing.
Did you just do it in reverse?
I did. Because I really love how Sunshine, just how everything handles in that game. And I really love its music and its thematic approach to level design. But, I mean, all these games in the collection are like 10 out of 10 games. So it's like, it's really hard to...
Have you played Sunshine before at all?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, and you finished it?
Yeah.
Really? Because I've never finished before. Sunshine. It was like the most frustrating of all Mario games when you get towards like the end, some of the levels. Like frustrating.
Well,
and, like,
do you mean finish like roll credits or finish like get all 120 shots?
No, like roll credits. I never even finished the last level.
Oh, Rick, I beat all these games when I was so much younger.
Yeah, it's the only Mario game I haven't beaten.
Sunshine was actually one of the first console games I ever owned.
So that's the thing, like, you're a GameCube kid, so, like, is this your nostalgia that's kicking in, that's making you actually believe
that I talked about that in the review. I really don't think so. Like, I think Mario 64 has just aged a little poorly in some areas. Like, don't get me wrong, the way Mario controls, it's just so fluid in that game, it's so much fun. But I really do think Sunshine and Galaxy are the better games.
Well, I'm just going to let you know right now that you're wrong. Like, you're just wrong. Like, I know everyone has an opinion, but like factually, this is like incorrect. Like, Super Mario 64 is a superior game.
All three of these games, though, are just masterpieces. They're all much fun.
I think there's two of these games that are masterpieces.
But they're all so different. Like, I get you can compare them from a control aspect, but a lot of people I see online are comparing Galaxy and 64. But the thing is that in Super Mario Galaxy, you're missing a lot of those moves from 64 in the sense of freedom. It's a lot more linear. So I don't get how people are comparing 64 and Galaxy. Like, if anything, 64 and Sunshine should be the comparison, because Galaxy is like its own different beast.
But who's comparing 64 to Galaxy? I'm confused.
I just see it everywhere online.
Where? Like, I've never seen this.
Twitter.
So it's all the young kids.
No, not the... I wouldn't say so.
I'm just going to blame the young kids, because, like...
Rick, I grew up with all these games. And
no, but there's this thing, Tim, back me up here. Whenever we... Cameron, I don't know, like, what was your first console? Like, Nintendo?
My first console I played was an NES, but the first console I ever owned was a Nintendo 64.
Okay, that is why you're sane, okay? Because, Tim, back me up here. Every time we bring someone on the podcast, right, and their first console is the GameCube, like, they always say these outrageous statements like Super Mario Sunshine is the greatest game of all time. Remember? Who was it? I think it was Tyler that said that. Or Super Mario Sunshine's better than 64. Or there was like one person that said the GameCube was like the greatest console ever. Like,
and we're all over here like, her?
Yeah.
No, but I love each game for their own different reasons.
Sure.
I think they're all fantastic. But if I were really to like stick to one and say it's the best one out of the collection, I would probably go with either Galaxy or Sunshine.
Okay, but you saying this collection, or you're just saying in general, like the original, like would you say the original Super Sunshine is better than the original 64 from when it was released?
In general. Well, when it was released, that's different. But if we're talking like by today's standard, you know, that's a completely different story. Because when Super Mario 64 released, it was a groundbreaking title. I mean, all these were groundbreaking in some aspect, but definitely 64 had the biggest impact on the industry. But if we're going to, like, sit down and play these games today, I would say Super Mario 64 is my least favorite.
Damn, but that's crazy.
But here's the thing. When
can
I say that's my least favorite...
Can you ride on the Koopa shell, though?
Oh, yeah, of course. Who doesn't
like,
do that?
At that point in time, I'm pretty sure there's no better game in existence than when you're surfing on a Koopa shell in 64.
That was the first game I ever completed was Super Mario 64.
Really?
It's funny you say that because Sunshine was the first game I ever completed.
Well then, I will see you at dawn, pistols, 10 paces.
I mean, look, that's like, awesome. It's great to know that you actually like Sunshine better, because it's kind of boring when everyone likes the exact same game the best. But I just feel like the level design in 64 is genius.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely great. Right.
I feel like the level design in Sunshine, like, it's great, but I don't think there's one level in Sunshine that's better than any of the levels in 64.
I don't know. I just feel like Delfino Island and it's just such a great hub world, first of all, but so is Peach's Castle. But I just feel like all the levels are so unique in all these games. That's the problem with comparing them. It's just they're all so great. They're all embodying different things. Like Super Mario 64 goes from different level to level design. Like you have the water one here, you got the ground one there, you got a battlefield, machine type place. And then when you go to Sunshine, it's Tropical Beach. And then when you go back to Galaxy mixes between air and space. So they're all very different in their own right from a level design perspective. And you have to take that into account because you can't just say, you know, they can all do the same thing because they can't. Because Mario Sunshine is in the middle of, you know, a tropical paradise surrounded by water. And then you have a game that's up in the air in space and it can literally do whatever it wants with gravity.
So I got a question. Of the three games, like in this collection, not dating back to like 1996, which game do you think controls the best?
That's tough.
For me, like, using the Joy-Cons is a problem because of the drift issue, which most people have. So I prefer the Wii remote for Galaxy. I prefer the GameCube controller for Sunshine. And then with 64, I feel like it's exactly like it was, like, playing it on the Wii U, but clearly the controller's nowhere. Like, so it's not at all similar to the N64 controller. But the problem with 64 is the camera. So I'm not, like, I kind of feel like playing the three games, like I kind of feel like Galaxy is still the one that controls the best. It's easier to move Mario in Galaxy.
Yeah, it's the easiest to definitely pick up and play.
Well, and Galaxy also has the most options for how you want to control it as well.
Yeah, but it's also the most linear game out of the collection. Like, it doesn't have that sense of freedom that Sunshine and Mario 64 have.
I mean, it was also kind of playing around with... We soon got more of this with 3D Land, but it's kind of, it's almost a reimagining of some of traditional Mario games, but with gravity thrown out the window, which made it really, really compelling. Yeah, it's a tricky... I mean, I think that answer is pretty obvious that Galaxy still controls phenomenally.
If you were to give this game to, like, anyone, just anyone on the street nowadays, and if you were to make them test out all three of these, and they were a gamer, I think they would gravitate, no pun intended, to Galaxy the most.
Well, I feel like the controls for Sunshine are a little too loose with the Pro Controller. It seems like Mario moves too fast, and so I always fall off of a cliff. Yeah, and with Galaxy, it's a little tricky to get some of the gemstones using a Pro Controller. I can see why you would want to use the handheld, but I still think it just moves. It's smooth. And with 64, again, like, it's not that there's a problem moving Mario. It's more of the camera. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing with 64 and Sunshine, you really have to master Mario's moveset, because the thing is with Galaxy is that Galaxy doesn't have half of those moves that Mario has in the other two games.
And Galaxy is also way easier of a game. I think it's way easier to finish.
Oh yeah, definitely. It definitely accommodated for the Wii's audience.
Have you guys messed around with the two player for Galaxy at all?
On this, no.
On this
collection,
version?
No. But no. When I grew up, my brother and I would pass the controller from level to level all the time. So I definitely did grow up playing the two-player mode.
Yeah, is it? Way. I forget. Is it just someone shoots stars?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It's not bad because you can go back and play the level, right? Like, if you really wanted to go play the level, you could just go back and play it.
Yeah. Oh no, I wasn't going to complain. I always had fun shooting stars while playing in single player too.
I legitimately forgot you could shoot stars until this afternoon. I put like an hour into it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is totally a thing you can do in this game.
And by totally, you mean you were shooting a toad?
Totally, baby.
Yeah, I really like this collection. I think that the price, which we haven't really gotten to, I think it's just right. I think it perfectly aligns with what Nintendo has set the precedent of anytime they release something as like a Nintendo Selects or whatever they happen to be called at the time. It's always $20. So here we've got $60 package for three games. I think that's well and good. I do like that they gave, it seems like Galaxy got a lot of support. You can play it in so many different ways, and each one of them offers something totally different, which I really like. I personally really enjoyed the Pro Controller, so I think that's the way to play that game. But yeah, I personally don't see a lot of cons for this collection if you were just talking about a very faithful port of all three titles.
What I do not understand is why was this game released? Like, it wasn't actually released on the anniversary week or day.
Actually, I think it did coincide with the Japanese release. I think it did. Didn't
really?
I'm pretty sure it did.
Maybe. I don't know. I also know that Mario has a shadowy history that we, like, not all the numbers are fully confirmed for. Yeah. So.
It's a different date in every single region. So
I was going to ask if anyone's messed around with the soundtrack stuff at all.
Yes, I have.
That's awesome. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I love how it mixes up the main menu every single time you go into the game. Sometimes I'll just let it sit there for a minute just to listen to some of the tracks.
I think Galaxy has the best soundtrack of any Mario game. But so like it basically just plays the soundtrack and it shuffles it, right? That's it?
Yep.
That's okay. You can select it as well. You can select it.
And then I'm pretty sure if you it has the same functionality as Super Smash Brothers, where if you plug in headphones and you leave the Switch paused or in sleep mode, it'll keep playing the music.
Which is super funny, but also cool at the same time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like putting your like entire Switch in your pocket like an iPod?
With the headphone jack.
Someone out there listening had just asked what's an iPod.
Oh no.
Yeah.
At least I didn't say Walkman.
Or a Zune.
It's definitely, this collection is definitely, I talked about this in the review. I keep saying that, but I did. But with, it's definitely lacking some extras. Like, I really wish, I was just, before we started talking, I literally was looking through the manual to Super Mario Sunshine. And it's like, these are such cool booklets, and I really wish they were in the collection.
Yeah, I'm always split on stuff like that, because I'm perhaps the worst person to talk about this, because whenever there's a DVD that has, like, oh, behind-the-scenes commentary or whatever, I never listen to it. So for me, I'm like, I just want to play the games. But I can see how that would be a draw for a lot of fans of the series who would want a little something extra.
It's really weird, too, because just 5 years ago, they included with Super Mario Maker in the special booklet, even though it was mostly like an idea booklet, it did have like a history of Mario section.
Yeah, but worth noting, first of all, this isn't actually any anniversary package. Like, they do a good job of anytime there's a limited edition or an anniversary set, they always come with some sort of booklet. But also, Mario Maker released before they released a full Mario encyclopedia. So I wonder if there was a conscious decision to try to make money elsewhere by disincluding some of that stuff. Yeah. Now that you can actually buy the encyclopedia. I know a lot of people were saying the same thing. They're like, hey, in the original, like, this gave me that. Or you can actually buy that, like a full-on book somewhere else, which is well worth picking up and really a really good read.
The Dark Horse Comics run.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's like a 500-page book. It's like a coffee table.
It is absolutely a coffee table book, yeah. But my head turned to that because I was like, I don't need another history of Mario unless it's an updated encyclopedia to include his most recent exploits.
Yeah, that's kind of where I come down on as well, yeah.
But it'd also be really weird to be like, here's Super Mario 3D All-Stars where we're going to talk about all of Mario's history even though it's three games. So they're like, do you just talk about these three games?
Well, I mean, they did the same thing with Super Mario All-Stars on Wii with that re-release where it included a book and a soundtrack.
Yeah.
And the book, like, commemorated the entire history. I think it was up to Galaxy at that point.
But wasn't that the anniversary of All-Stars?
No, that was specifically that one released on the, I think it was the 25th anniversary of Mario. But again, that was like an anniversary set where it had like special packaging commemorating the 25th anniversary. This, if you didn't tell me it was the 35th anniversary and I didn't happen to know that as a huge nerd and I just saw this in the store, I wouldn't know it was Mario's birthday. So.
Well, because it's usually like 10, 20, 25, 50. Like, no one really does 35, 40, 45. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was definitely a weird occasion.
And the thing about this game, too, it's like we had the All-Stars for the 2D games. This is All-Stars for the 3D games. So for me, this is like sort of like a sequel to All-Stars. So I don't really look at it as like a remastered or a reboot or, I don't know, like an anniversary release of 64 Sunshine and or Galaxy. I look at it as like a sequel to the original All-Stars. So maybe we will still get a remastered, whatever, high-definition Super Mario 64. Who knows? Like, I honestly think that, like, what I asked this question last week, I'll ask again. Where is Galaxy 2? Why would you not include Galaxy 2? It makes no sense.
I think that
the game's called 3D.
It's called 3D, so three games is honestly what I think they came down on. But also, it's really weird to have the one of them got a sequel and you throw that on there. Like, it's kind of, I feel like it's more like, hey, let's commemorate the 64, the GameCube, and the Wii as our old, like, stalwart 3D titles. It would be, in my opinion, kind of weird to include Galaxy 2. Like, it'd be cool, but it'd also be weird.
I mean, Nintendo is both cool and weird, so I feel like it makes more sense to include it. Do you think there's any possibility of them doing some kind of a DLC or like, you can buy it separately? Like, do you think that'll happen?
Well, my theory is the reason why this is limited is because it's not that you won't be able to buy Sunshine or 64 or Galaxy in the future. It's just that if you want to buy all three games in one package for one price, that package is limited till March 2021. And I think after, you will have to buy the games individually, like separately. That's what I think they should do. And if they do this, then maybe we will get Galaxy also released.
But it'll also stop production immediately after Mario Day, March 10th. So there's a decent chance that Nintendo announces something different that will then release soon after. Or it could also just be that their real plan was Odyssey 2 and it wasn't ready yet, so they're like, stall quick, just port some games over. Like, there's just no saying.
No, I don't think that's the case, because this definitely took a lot of planning, because if you look
it absolutely took at least, I think they said it took 6 months at least.
Like, I know one thing was that's the rumored development time for this game, but then you have stuff like the Puma shoes and all these plushes and shirts, and I know stuff that.
But that
a lot of time, but
that all coincides perfectly with the 35th anniversary of Mario, which they're definitely celebrating as the 35th anniversary. Again, nothing about this game in particular says 35th anniversary. I'm really wondering if this was the original plan or if it just kind of happened because they wanted to fill a gap really quick. I don't know.
Yeah, because when I bought Super Mario Maker, like, it had the big 3-0, right? It was the 30-year anniversary.
Yeah.
It's a weird year.
Yeah.
Yeah, 35 is also, like, no one likes to be 35, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about 35. I was just talking about 2020.
Oh, 2020. 2020 is also a weird year. And also, yeah, it's worth noting a pandemic is maybe throwing things off. Who knows?
Oh, right, that.
And maybe that's why there's no booklet, is because they couldn't actually get all of that stuff together to ship it out in time or something. I don't know.
It's very, very true.
Also, I'm looking at the packaging, so this really bugs me. Like, okay, So the packaging sucks. Like, I'm sorry. It's just the laziest Photoshop job ever. Like, you look at the original All-Stars, which was released on the greatest video game console of all time. They put some work into it. Like, it looks great. Like, you got Mario, he's got some kind of magic wand, he's got like a top hat, and he's got his buddies in the background. You have the covers of the three games, and this is just like, it's uninspiring. It's boring. It's like, who, like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the 2000s when they started releasing DVDs, and every DVD was just like,
it was three Batman movies, and then like, yeah, Jurassic Park or something really random packed in there. You guys remember
when I put this on my shelf, Rick, I looked over, I have the Pirates of the Caribbean movies on Blu-ray, and I looked at it and I was like, it's the same cover.
I need to know really quick how many of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies so that I can judge you.
only the first two are good, Tim.
Okay, we can be friends.
I mean, he didn't ask you which ones were good, he asked you which ones you had.
Oh, no, just the first three. And it wasn't my Blu-ray copy. It was my friend's, and he left it here, and it never left.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I do own the third one also. But anyway, that's not the point of this show. Rick, I like the packaging. It tells you exactly what is in the box. And that's why I don't get why so many people are mad about what's not in the box. Because literally on the cover of the thing, it shows you three Mario games. And those are in here. And that's why I bought it. And that's all I wanted. And I got it. So, yeah. Interesting year for Mario, to say the least. But I think we're all recommending the game. Available now for a limited time. Go get it.
If you haven't played any of these three games, you know, you owe it to yourself to play them.
Oh, yeah. If you're remotely interested in, like, good video games, definitely worth playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look out for Super Mario 3D All-Stars 2, which is coming out for the 45th anniversary. It'll have Odyssey on there.
Calling it now, Tim.
Incredible.
So that does it for our episode of N-Express this week. Thank you all for being here and talking about Mario and maybe celebrating his birthday, but we're still kind of on the fence about that. Cameron, thank you especially for joining us for the first time. Where can we find you online?
Sure. Well, I'm currently writing for goombastomp.com, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. I actually don't have any social media, so you can find me on Goombastomp.
That's liberating.
It is.
And Mark, what about you?
You can find all my articles on goombastomp.com. If you want to follow me anywhere, it's always at the Mark Cal, Mark with a C.
And Cal with a K.
Yes, Cal with a K.
And Rick, what about you?
Well, you can find me online over at Goombastomp and I guess Tilt Magazine, which is a sister site of Goombastomp. Online, on social, I handle the official Twitter account for Goombastomp, which is Goombastomp Mag. And you can like us on Facebook and you can listen to this podcast just about everywhere from Stitcher to iTunes to YouTube to, I don't know, everywhere. But find our links in the post over at Goombastomp.com. All the info is always within each and every single one of the posts.
And I'm Tim Mason. Find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter and stuff. Listen to my other show, Game Boys, if you like co-op and multiplayer. We have some really good stuff coming out eventually. I mean, with every week there's a new episode, but we've been kind of doing a little a backlog build-up so that we can release some while I go on paternity leave. And that's exciting. So some really good episodes coming out soon. Go check that out. Although it is a dumpster fire, so maybe don't. Seriously, go check out Goombastomp and all the amazing work there right now. Check out some of those best of segments that Rick has been putting together for N-Express. They are a fun blast from the past, but also just some solid reviews of some really good games. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with all things Nintendo. For now, I guess go flood or something. So Super Mario Sunshine. I don't know.
That is like the worst. Oof,
that,
worst.
That hurt.
I love bad sign-offs more than anything.
That's like the worst sign-off ever.
You want a better one? You want a better game, Rick? Yeah. We'll catch you somewhere out there in the galaxy, because that game is out of this world. We'll see ya. See you soon with Galaxy.
Nailed it.
Sunshine? It's like literally like, we'll see you when there's a sunnier day than this game.
All
right. I'm trying to give it a...
Mario
64 is a masterpiece.
It's me, Mario! Bye-bye.